We want to appeal to your ears.
Run for it, Trump!
We're going to run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This program, if someone can hand me the hourly sponsors there, Schmatz, or someone so I can get our sponsors in involved. We always want to make sure we take care of these fine people as they are the ones responsible for bringing us to you. Back in Boston, this hour of the program is brought to you by Jeff Carbone Insurance, our presenting sponsor all week long is Harbor One Bank. So thanks to those folks.
My buddy Jeff.
That's your guy. Okay. Well, let's get going with this, Maz. This is something that you brought up and I think is also something we sort of run into every single year. And folks, we'll take your calls early and often. I invite you and encourage you to call early because we get loaded up with guests and who knows how many calls we can take later on in the show. So 617-779-0985. Jimmy, you can release the hounds immediately. I'm logged in. 617-779-0985. Maz, do you think the Patriots are in the head of the National Football League, of the entire National Football League apparatus, the national media, the Eagles, everybody else in the league?
Yep.
And what gives you that impression?
Plain and simple, yes. And that includes the league office, the other 31 teams, the fan bases of the other 31 teams, the media that cover the other 31 teams, the entire football world is how I would put it. The Patriots are absolutely positively in the heads of all of them. And a couple of the stories here that came to the surface or, you know, that came out in the last 24 hours to me sort of illustrate that. One is the Steve Spagnuolo story and the idea that the Patriots were stealing signals from the Eagles back when they played him in the Super Bowl, you know, in 04. So you're talking now 13 years ago. We're still talking about it. Okay, first of all, so start there. But the idea that, you know, yep, they were able to pick up on our blitzes. They knew our blitzes were coming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which applies to the whole videotaping scandal and the fact that the Patriots were already disciplined for that, right? I mean, they were disciplined for that, and it was 13 years ago. We're still dwelling on it. That's number one. And then secondly, there was an interesting story today on the penalties that have been called in the postseason thus far and how the Patriots have been called for decidedly fewer penalties than other teams in the last few weeks and really in the playoffs over the last 5 years, how the Patriots versus the field have been called anywhere from 25% to 35% fewer penalties, to give you a generalization of it. So that story suggests the Patriots have been getting favorable treatment by the league and the officials. And this obviously plays off of the Jacksonville game in the AFC Championship where the Patriots are called for just one penalty. So on the one side, you have a group of people saying the Patriots are cheaters. They were cheaters 13 years ago, and they're still cheaters. On the other side, you have a group of people now saying, well, the league's taking care of them. That's why they win. Which one is it? Like, it can't be both. So I sort of look at the whole thing and I say people are just, they're so obsessed with the Patriots, they can't think straight. And they can't see the forest through the trees anymore. And the reality is, and I think this is part of the brilliance of Belichick, for lack of a better term, in that he keeps people guessing all the time. He discloses very little in the way of information. People plays on people's insecurities and paranoia, and so they're all left to guess as to what's really going on behind the scenes. And the fact is, Bill Belichick just coaches an exceptional football team that executes at peak times, and everyone else's minds are spinning because they can't figure it out, and he's got the whole football world in a spin.
Okay. So that second part's true. They're better than everybody else, and they're more prepared than everybody else, and that's the fact. They've also cheated, and they've gotten some calls. So can it all be true?
Okay, but again, the cheating suggests that...
I mean, the calls, the story that you're referring to is in The Ringer today, and it just confirms what our eyeballs have told us. They've gotten some good officiating this year and this run.
Okay, so do you believe that that's a conspiracy?
No, I don't believe that's a conspiracy.
Okay, but this is the part I'm attacking.
I see.
This notion that it's some sort of league conspiracy and the league's out to take care of the Patriots. There's no conspiracy there.
No, it's just a trend.
Now, there are sound theories as to why that is, and I'm happy to discuss those. But when the story lays it out, you sort of have to say, well, what are you saying? The league's taking care of the Patriots?
Okay, so the refereeing thing is one thing. The cheating is another. This comes up every year we go to the Super Bowl. Let me talk about the Patriots as cheaters. And I've said before, and I'll say again, an unfortunate byproduct of cheating is that people will call you cheaters. It's just one of those things. When you cheat, people then tend to later on down the line call you cheaters. That's an unfortunate byproduct of cheating. So the Patriots run into that all the time. They've gotten caught in the past cheating, and so now people call them cheaters. It's just, you're going to have to deal with it. But it's, you know, it's come up. It's like clockwork. Steve Spagnuolo, it was, you know, the Giants defensive coordinator is what he's known for, being with the Giants and being the D coordinator that had that great game plan against you in 07. He was an assistant coach on the Philadelphia Eagles in 2004. Okay? Jim Johnson was the defensive coordinator for the Eagles. Now, Steve Spagnuolo was on, what is this from? Where was this?
Our radio station.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
The Fanatic in Philly, our owned media radio station.
Okay, so this is our sister station, the Fanatic in Philadelphia. Steve Spagnuolo was on last night. Here's what he said about Super Bowl in 2004 against the Eagles and what he felt was sign-stealing by the Patriots.
You learned a lot by being against them in 04 during the Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl we were in when you were working with Jim Johnson.
Yeah.
So you learned a lot from them in that game, too.
No question. I tell you, the biggest thing we learned was make sure you have two signal callers, not one signal caller, because they may have all your signals.
Yeah, well, look, Spikey's real now. I mean, that was a real deal. And you guys saw, I keep going back to that Super Bowl. I watched it again. And, man, that third quarter.
You're talking about the Eagles, Patriots, yeah. Well, look, here's what I remember distinctly. Now, at the time, I was up in the box and Jim was down on the field. And I remember through the course of the game, Jim saying, they're getting our signals. They know when we're blitzing. They're getting our signals. You know, try to hide it, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember distinctly thinking, Jim, I don't think that's true. Now, I'm not saying this to him because I don't want to upset him. But I'm saying to myself, I don't think so, Jim. Just concentrate on, you know, calling the game. But he, you know what, in hindsight, he was right. When you go back and look at that tape, it was evident to us. And I'm not crying over spilt milk here, but we believe that Tom knew when we were pressuring, because he certainly got the ball out pretty quick. But, you know, you got to play the game, and they won that particular day. But there's no question, I wasn't going to let that happen in the 08 Super Bowl after the 07 season. We made sure we had two signal calls, and we were protecting against that. So
yeah,
that was good knowledge.
Okay, so that was Steve Spagnuolo last night on Philadelphia Radio. I'll give you one more. This is Brooks Barrett. He used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He now works at NBC Sports Philadelphia. He was on our early edition show last night on NBC Sports Boston. And again, as a member of the Steelers, he played the Patriots a couple times in 2004, including the 04 AFC Championship game. So this is the week before that Eagles Super Bowl that Spagnuolo was just talking about. Here's Brooks Barrett.
I can remember being in the huddle, and Teddy Bruschi would call on the play that I didn't even know yet.
Oh, well, here we go.
Fox 2 run. That's a draw play. He said, hey, draw right here. And then.
Had you guys lined up yet?
No, we weren't out the huddle. Weren't out the huddle. Come on. We weren't out the huddle. And he knows the play before I do. And we ran Fox 2 run. I'm looking at Ben, you got to change that. But he was a rookie. He didn't know any better. He just won 15 games. In a row. I mean, he was a great player then.
So you think the Patriots had your playbook that week?
They knew something I didn't know. They knew how to cheat better than we did. I can't be mad because they cheated better than us.
I mean, seriously, if you busted our chops, you really believe it?
No, it's not a belief. I saw it. I witnessed it.
How did they cheat then?
Let me tell you, personnel package is like 12 personnel. One running back, two tight ends. If they're calling 12 personnel before we get on the field, something has got to be going on.
But how do they do it?
Maybe they have something. They're tapped into the headset.
Well, I mean, they were tapped in something, practice and everything else.
That was Scott Zolak was in Mike Tomlin's ear opening night. But I mean, that would be the only way, I mean, is if they're picking up the radio communications.
Or you picking up signals, you know what I mean, from our guys. I mean, there's all things. Like I said, I can just be mad, but you guys have ring.
Okay, so that's Brooks Barrett.
Yeah, be mad. That's all I got to say about this. I mean, that has nothing to do about these guys putting in, you know, more film work and taking the time to put in the attention to detail. And yeah, okay, they got caught cheating twice, but I love this. Give more of this. I hope this continues throughout this week, because their sustained level of success for near 20 years makes everyone insane, because it doesn't make sense. The league isn't designed for this. So there has to be something up every single year, right? They got to be up to something, and we're going to catch them, or we're just going to keep talking about it.
Do you think they were in 2004? Do you think these guys are making it up, or just...
Yeah, I do. In 2004, like, where's your proof? Where's your proof of this? Or are you just mad because there's been other incidents that they got nabbed for?
Well, I mean,
so it's easy to just make that correlation.
I mean, you understand they didn't get nabbed until 2007. They were doing it all the way up until 2007 when they got caught and then presumably stopped. But this was in the era before they got caught. They got caught week one in 2007. So 2004 is right in the heart of...
All right, so even if that's the case, if they were and this was part of their game plan, switch up your plays. Switch them up. Do something different. And if you're onto it that quick... Switch it up.
I mean, to me, there's no question in my mind they were doing something back then. Okay? The penalty story to me kind of irritated me today because I thought, look, there's no doubt the numbers are the numbers. When you look at the numbers of penalties that have been called on average in the postseason versus what's called against the Patriots, there's a difference there. There is. And it's not just the AFC title game against Jacksonville. Now, I just don't think it's some sort of league conspiracy. And I think people are out of their minds about the Patriots where they can't see the actual reasons for it anymore. That's all. But look, if you're telling me the Patriots brought a lot of this on themselves, yep. Yep, they did. This was why it was stupid to do what they did in the first place. Because that's always going to be there now. That is never going to go away, no matter how many they win.
I mean, do you think Brooks Barrett's making it up?
When he says
we weren't even on the field yet, and they knew we were going to be in 12 personnel because either they heard the headset or they knew the hand signals, right? So the assistant coaches are signaling in for 12 personnel, and the Patriots know it before the Steelers players know it.
No, I believe that. I do believe it. And knowing Bill Belichick like we know him and the detail that he goes to in an assortment of areas – yes, he would go to that level to get every edge he could.
Do you blame teams for still holding it against them 10 years later, 15 years later?
I mean, at some point...
Yeah, get over it.
Yeah, at some point I would say let it go, because I don't think it's the real reason they have won. But at the same time, if you're going to go to that area and you're the Patriots, you're never going to live it down. It's never going away. Once you make that mistake, which is why you need to be careful when you make that sort of choice, if you get caught, is it worth it? Is it worth it to do, I don't want to say destroy your credibility, because I don't think their credibility has been destroyed. But is it worth it to damage your legacy, however slightly? My answer is no. Okay, my answer is no, it's not worth it. I wouldn't stoop to that level.
So, you know, the Deflategate thing we've debated and we can keep debating. The Spygate thing is really not debatable. I mean, they were doing it, they admitted it. They've never really owned up to the extent of what they were doing, which was prodigious. You know, again, dressing their cameramen as media people and craft sports production people and putting on media vests and duct taping out Patriots logo. Like, they've never fully copped to that, which happened. But either way, we know it happened. So they were getting signals, and they were ahead of the opposition illegally. Is it unfair for people to bring it up now? Is that sour grapes, or is that just what happened? And either way...
Well, what do you think?
I think, like I said, an unfortunate byproduct of cheating is that people call you a cheater.
Yeah, is it sour grapes?
It is both. It's both. You were doing it. It's not like they're making it up. It's not like you weren't doing it.
All right, but fine. Some of these other teams have to look themselves in the mirror, too, specifically that Eagles team with that fat pig Donovan McNabb who puked down his leg at the end of that game because he's out of shape.
Now, this is a different. I mean, I agree with you. It's a loser's lament. Like, you losers. Like, there's nothing you could have done. So it's sort of passing the buck for their failure, which I agree with you on that. But, you know, here we go again. It happens every year at the Super Bowl, and I think it's your fate as long as Bill Belichick is your coach.
That's fine.
So, I mean, I think you'll take the trade-off, the fact that you're here every year.
Yeah, stay mad.
But once you get here, you got to put up with this stuff. And how much of it is legit? So that's where we're starting. And the bottom line, we are in everyone's heads. There's no question about it.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
We want to appeal to your ears.
Blood force drum! We're going to run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Maz. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we're right here with Philadelphia legend Howard Eskin, who's been just full of verbs and accusations and nouns and all kinds of lies and slander. Howard, what's the matter with you?
Cheaters. I mean, listen, I like truth, justice, and the American way. And the Patriots, over years, have cheated. Now, they've been good, but they've cheated. So I'm just giving you the truth, because I want justice.
I understand that. And I ask you, how in God's name were the Patriots able to stick their fingers down the throat of Donovan McNabb in 2004 to make him vomit on his shoes during one of the closing drives? Because that is the height of underhandedness.
He had a bad breakfast.
They slipped him a bad egg.
How justified is it? I guess that's the question. Steve in Boston, lead us off today. What do you got, Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Great topic. I was waiting for you guys to bring up the Spagnuolo comments. It's kind of been around the last 24 hours. Anyway, I mean, I'll admit I'm a Patriots homer fan, but I don't really get too worked up about this anymore. It's kind of like, you know, just like you said, Thugger, I mean, you kind of have to deal with it at this point. You were caught. However, you know, real it was, who knows? You can debate that. But the thing that I find that's kind of funny is that the facts really don't kind of add up with Spagnuolo's comments. The game film is out there for anyone to see. You don't have to buy the video. It's out there on the internet. You can go watch it. Go watch the game again. There's nothing that there was disguising from the Eagles that entire game in terms of blitzing. They had
so, Steve, let me say, yeah, Steve, let me stop you. Steve, I don't know if you're referring to Greg Bedard in Boston Sports Journal. He did a great breakout of his comments and went back. And Steve, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'll just pick it up from here. Greg went through all the game film and showed specific clips saying there might have been a few plays where you could say the Patriots knew what was coming. There were a couple screen passes to Dylan that he sort of brings out and says, if you want to stretch it and say here they had an inkling, you could. But really, for the most part, Bedard through the game film just dispels most of it. I mean, mostly through the fact that Jim Johnson was a very aggressive defensive coach and had been around forever and liked to blitz a certain way and was pretty much just staying true to that, nothing fancy. And Brady picked it up as he usually does. And it's a good read, Boston Sports Journal, if you just want to go through some play-by-play of what Greg talks about to really dispel what Spagnuolo was talking about.
I mean, to me, this is sort of what the Patriots excel at. Belichick knows what you do. He knows when you're going to do it. And this is why I think that comment of, you know, which coach said we just got to take care of ourselves and we'll be fine. It was
Peterson.
Doug Peterson. Right, it was Doug Peterson. Which is why I think, well, that's not true, because Bill Belichick does more than that. Bill Belichick looks at the other side, recognizes how you like to play, and knows how he can exploit it. And so what did he do? He looked at the Eagles and he said they're going to blitz a lot, and this is how you handle blitzing teams.
Should they also have two sets of signals?
Yes.
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 Of course.
But, you know, I mean, I would say this. It all plays to the Patriots' advantage. Whether they're still doing it or not, or whether it's an impact or not, if the other team feels they have to prepare for it, that's time out of their day, and that can only help you. And so I think this is all, it all helps you now.
I mean, the story was talking about the refereeing, and I know I'm jumping around here a little bit, but it was on The Ringer, and this is the first two sentences, okay? The fix might be in. A selection of questionable officiating decisions helped New England avoid an upset to Jacksonville in the AFC Championship, and conspiracy theorists seized on the latest example of an evidently continuing trend. Okay, now look, now the story goes on to dispel some of these things and then goes on to give you the numbers from all these games. But there is no league conspiracy to help the Patriots. Like, that I think is utterly preposterous. Now, have they benefited from some of the officiating? No question. Of course they have.
Did the league want him to win last week?
Probably.
Yes.
Probably.
That's the only link I could give you to the league helping you out, that they're much better served with the Patriots and Brady here versus Jacksonville. So certainly the league has benefited by the Pats being here once it got to be them in Jacksonville. But up until that point, no. They don't benefit from you being here. I think there's Patriots fatigue out there that's hurting them. I think they'd be much better served right now with a Dallas-Pittsburgh Super Bowl or a Green Bay-Oakland Super Bowl. Like, they would want some fresh blood. They want stars. But you, Jacksonville? Yeah, I think they wanted you to win. So, did that impact the officiating? Who knows? Here's Eddie and Southie. Go ahead, Eddie.
One of the things that I think is the most impressive about the last 18 years that'll never show up in these box scores, but it's just New England's ability to make teams crap their pants just seemingly with doing nothing. And I think it's going to show up this week again. But from a strategy standpoint today, don't you just feel like the Patriots in the second quarter can run that hurry up and put the pedal to the floor and just outwork these guys and wear their defense out?
Yeah, I don't know, but second quarter, I could say second half, and you're right. I mean, when we look back and put the highlights together and the, you know, the retrospectives on this run, how much opponent pants crapping are you going to have on that reel?
I mean, a lot of it. Just look at the last two Super Bowls.
Oh, my God.
The last two Super Bowls alone, you know, there were opportunities here for both of those teams to win that game. In fact, they should have, and they gave it away. And I think what happens in those moments is that, you know, a number of things, the pressure of the moment, all of it, they start running around with their heads cut off, and Bill keeps his composure, and Bill's able to see through it. And so not a lot of people can do that when the clock is ticking and there's a championship at stake. And then, you know, so nobody can understand why. And he knows that sometimes you just have to wait. You just have to wait it out.
Tom on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Tom.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just for a point of reference from a caller yesterday, I was not born on Cape Cod, so I have no loyalty to the people of the Cape. So to that jabroni who called and gave you the score yesterday and called Maz a loser, he can go play in traffic. But
You're not responsible, Tom, in other words.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But to my point, I think it's phenomenal that you guys brought this up. It floors me that the Patriots have garnered so much enmity, so much obsession from the media, other fans, like no other successful franchise before. I definitely want to ask you guys what the core of that is, if you guys think it's Brady, Belichick. But, Maz, to your point about the cheating and all that being brought on them, you know, Belichick has a business-like approach. The NFL is a business. You know, ethics do fall by the wayside, you know, when you're trying to be successful. So thank you guys, and have a great week out there.
Okay, man. Well, you heard Brooks Barrett say it in that cut. You guys just cheat better than we did. He's basically implying that, you know, we were doing stuff too, except you got caught. You were better at it, and ultimately you got caught. So like, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Bill did not come up with all this stuff on his own. I mean, that's for sure. He learned from others doing it, you know, when he was in the league. But why does it keep coming up? It's twofold. You won, and you were doing it. So it's like, if either of those two things didn't exist, you wouldn't hear about it. But it's
not like, you won, you win.
And you still, right, and you're still doing it, right? And you're still, I'm not still taping, presumably. You're still thumping everybody.
I mean, people are just sick of them. They're sick of the Patriots. They want to get rid of them. You know, and so, but I just find it comical that it's like the obsession with them. It doesn't help the people who are trying to beat them. They can't see it. They can't get past it.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
I mean, there's no underdogs in the Super Bowl. They're the first seed in the NFC, man. They're 13-3. I mean, they had an incredible season. So I don't buy into any of that. I think they're as dangerous as any team in the league, and, you know, it's going to come down to whoever plays the best. Hopefully it's us.
The Eagles being able to play the underdog card, it helps the Eagles. It's good. The Patriots, you know, basically fed off of that for the first half of their run, right? They were the underdogs, even though they were favored all the way through 2003-04. They played that thing up. Now the other guys get to do it, and I'm sure Brady knows it's an advantage. So that's his counter. There is no such thing as an underdog in the Super Bowl. He's wrong, of course. Eagles are underdogs. Anyway, back to your phones. Here's Josiah in San Antonio. Go ahead, Josiah.
Hey, man, how you doing? I just wanted to make this clear. The thing that frustrates me with the Patriots is this. That last game against Jacksonville was pure robbery. The one penalty they called, the play when Deion Lewis fumbled when clearly nobody touched him. He was going the other way for 6 points, and the referee was quick to blow the whistle. And those ticky-tack penalties with those pass interference to put the Pats on the one. My thing is this, I don't like to be robbed out of a good game, but call it fair. And I'm still even ticked off about the play from Benjamin before the half in Buffalo, that Jesse James catch. It's just awful what these officials are doing. I'm starting to think the fix may be in. This is crazy.
Okay, I don't think the fix is in, but it is. I mean, again, read the story on The Ringer. It's pretty. The numbers are the numbers.
No, the numbers are striking. Again, and then the best way to say it, just because the numbers will make your head spin if you go into too much detail. But basically, the Patriots are called for 25 to 35% fewer penalties and less penalty yardage than the opposition.
So the NFL's even put out some of these numbers, which the real concern for me is that it flips back in the Super Bowl, that the Patriots, you know, that the Patriots get called for more penalties because the league's now trying to even this out because people are onto it. But NFL Research themselves sent out a tweet after that AFC title game that said the Patriots were called for one penalty against the Jaguars. It is the fewest penalties called on one team in a playoff game since the 2011 AFC Championship, when the Patriots were called for one penalty against the Ravens. So the Patriots matched their own record. The Ringer says that here's another curious stat. The Patriots were penalized just 10 yards against the Jaguars. That is the smallest cumulative punishment against one team in a playoff game since the 2016 AFC Championship, when the Patriots were penalized just 10 yards in a win over the Steelers.
So what do you think it is?
So, again, they just say, thus far in the playoffs, the Pats have lost 47 yards on 5 penalties, while their two opponents have lost a combined 160 yards on 16 flags. And 4 of the 5 accepted penalties against New England have come on punts or kickoffs, meaning the Pats have lost ground on downs and distance just once this month. So they've been penalized in the run of play just once.
So what do you make of that?
I think it's a combination of good luck, just sort of a oddity, a statistical trend. I think they commit fewer penalties than other teams, but not that fewer. So if you want to tell me the other teams that you're even 75% of the other team or 90% of the other team, that'd be one thing. That would account for the fact that you commit fewer penalties. I think it's just luck. I think it's luck. I think it's just one of those statistical odd trends. And maybe in this last game, I don't know. Maybe the league did want the pass to get through.
See, I think Belichick's reputation helps them.
Oh, and I'm sorry. I mean, that's an excellent point, too.
See, I think the fact that it's Belichick, that officials go into it, and whether consciously or subconsciously, look at it and say, well, this team's well-coached. They're always well-coached. Probably going to be fewer flags in this game. And as a result, they either let stuff go or they miss stuff. And I'm not telling you it's deliberate. I'm just telling you that I think there's a benefit there to being Bill Belichick and that's where it would show up. Now, look, in most other sports, when there's a discrepancy, you think something smells. In the NBA, especially. And most times in the playoffs in sports, they call them pretty even. You get one, they get one. That's the way it goes more often than not.
To Maz's point, though, I'm sorry, like the intimidation factor of Belichick and that coaching staff over there, I think that's real. If you go to that Tennessee game, remember that the special teams play where the guy was offsides and then he wasn't?
Right.
You know?
Well, and this is what the Ringer points out, too, in some of these replays. Like, you've had overturned touchdowns in your favor against the Jets, Steelers, and Bills. Remember
three
these
times?
Plays?
Yep.
The Jets, Seferian Jenkins was, I mean, and I think they got it right all three times. So it's not like it's a conspiracy. But, man, those were close plays, and they all broke your way. And not to mention, they point out, Jim, that odd pivotal reversal of a penalty ruling against the Titans in the divisional round. So it's just another way I think this team is in everybody's head.
I do worry, though. You know, with these articles coming out that maybe, you know, subconsciously these stories bleed into Gene Steratore and his staff
right.
for this game, and then they have the Patriots get jobbed on the biggest stage possible, and this all catches up with them.
You're due.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
they are due.
They are
due. You're due to get screwed by the refs.
And I could totally see the league office saying, look, this is what's out there. This is what people think. Make sure you have your eyes open. Call this one as straight as possible. Have your eyes open.
Jack in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, guys, two quick points. Number one, I'm with Murray in the sense that this stuff doesn't really bother me anymore, but I totally get it. I mean, I think back to pre-2004 as a Red Sox fan, the vitriol and the insane hatred I had for the Yankees that I would have believed anything. But in reality, the Yankees ownership spent more money, they built a better roster, and they were just a better team than the Red Sox for all those years. So I get why people sometimes just go over the top. The one thing, though, the second point is, I get a kick out of sometimes guys like you two and Borges and Shaughnessy, some of the guys who are, you know, quote-unquote contrarians. If I ever called up and said, oh, the Patriots lost because of a pass interference in the second period or a second quarter, or if I blamed a bunch of fouls on you know, the Cavaliers, that's why the Celtics got screwed, or, I mean, the other way around, you guys would say, quit whining, stop being a baby, da-da-da-da. Yet when it's the other way around, suddenly it's, well, they've got some good points.
Well, the only points they have are the numbers. I mean, it's just a statistical oddity, the amount of times you've been flagged. It's not just this year. It's recent playoff years as well. Again, just read the story on The Ringer. I mean, that's just a fact. That's not – the thing is, I mean, if you want to go further about those disputed touchdowns against the Jets, Bills, and Steelers, I mean, I think you're the better team and are going to win those games either way. Certainly the first two. The Steelers we could debate. But I think, you know – you're still winning those games either way, even though you got those calls.
Absolutely they are. And look, I've never sat here and said the Patriots won because they cheated. So if the other teams are claiming that's what it is, I would tell them the same thing I would tell Jack. Stop your whining. He had plenty of chances to win the game. Now, all Belichick did with that whole Spygate nonsense was hurt himself ultimately and hurt the Patriot legacy. Again, not a ton, but some. Because I still think people look at it, and how many people have you heard say that Belichick's the greatest coach ever?
Everybody.
Across the country. And Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. It hasn't really taken away a chunk of what they've accomplished.
But I do wonder if they're due. And they got some good breaks in that Super Bowl last year, too, now. They got some good breaks.
The officiating, I would keep an eye out on this game because I bet you they call this one even.
And you know, I mean, and whether it's intentional or not, or conspiracy or not, things just tend to even out. And they really haven't for you officiating wise. You got some good calls in that Super Bowl last year, and it's really carried on into this season. You've had nothing to complain about for a while. Nothing to complain about for a while. And so, are you due there? It's just one thing we're sort of kicking around today.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Every business we go into, we try to excel. And to be very frank, I just wanted to win one right to begin.
Yeah.
But you know, it's addictive. Once you win one and privileged to do that, you want to do everything you can to try to keep it going. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to have a head coach and a quarterback together for 18 years. I mean, I'm not sure there's another team that either has a head coach for that long or a quarterback. So to have both and have them be so good, it's a real privilege to keep it together and keep doing this.
They got great ownership as well, so add that to the mix.
We don't get in the way as best as possible.
Do our best not to get involved as best as possible. He throws on that little as best as possible, knowing that they probably got involved on the quarterback thing, right?
Oh, definitely.
And knowing that it's obvious that they got involved on the quarterback thing, or in some little way, they're okay with letting it be known that they were involved in the quarterback thing.
That's a big tell.
Because Robert keeps doing that. You know, and again, when we're able to play the 30 for 30 stuff, which we've all seen here, but the public hasn't viewed it yet, we'll be able to play a sound later in the week. I have some more cuts from here from that from Robert. Where
There's digs or tells.
I just keep reading into things. But the thing about, you know, and again, just that very last thing, you know. Can you just play that again, Jimmy? Because there's two tells in there. There's two tells in that one.
Every business we go into, we try to excel. And to be very frank, I just wanted to win one
right
to begin.
Yeah.
But you know, it's addictive. Once you win one and privileged to do that, you want to do everything you can to try to keep it going. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to have a head coach and a quarterback together for 18 years. I mean, I'm not sure there's another team that either has a head coach for that long or a quarterback. So to have both and have them be so good, it's a real privilege to keep it together and keep doing this.
They got great ownership as well, so add that to the mix.
We don't get in the way as best as possible.
We don't get in the way as best as possible. Play that other one, Jimmy. There's one more Kraft cut that I wanted you to grab.
How long can you continue the success with Belichick and Tom Brady and putting all those different pieces around and just keep it going? There's a lot of distractions going on, and all this team seems to do is focus, block the noise, and continue to win football games.
You know, with all good big things in life, there's always distractions. And the people that stay cool and stay focused are able to keep it together. My job is to try my best to keep it together, and that's the main thing for me with this franchise.
Okay, so, I mean, again, it's just the way I think, but I just read into that. My job is to keep it together.
As best I can.
And the one thing is we don't get involved, we don't get in the way, as best as possible. So he's even letting you know there that that's not an absolute. Sometimes.
But it can't be. He owns the team, right? And I'm not. Look, he does get involved. He has to get involved.
So I think that's just sort of a tacit admission that he was involved there in that quarterback thing. And then when he says, you know, it's important to stay cool and focused. Cool. This is something he said in the 30 for 30 as well. Like, keep your cool. Keep your cool. I read into that and I say, yeah, Bill flipped out after the quarterback thing. But just cool it. Just cool it. Don't go flying off the... Don't tip over the table in the draft room like Parcells did. Keep your cool. We'll talk about it. We'll make it right. And let's just do what's in the best long-term interest of all of us here. Keep your cool.
I think that applies to Tom as well. After the draft, and Garoppolo's still here, you know, I'd like to think, if you read the way that this thing reads and we hear about this story, that Brady probably barged into the office. Why is he still here? Why is he still here? I thought he was going to be traded. What's happening? Why is Garoppolo still here?
It's important to stay cool and focused. In the 30 for 30, I think he says he even alludes to at some point, keep your cool. And I just can't help but think he's referring to these two who, you know, Bill got pissed off for certain reasons. Brady got pissed off for certain reasons. Who knows, on their worst days, Brady says, get me out of here. Or Bill says, I'm out of here to go coach it. And Robert's just like, guys, that's just cool, you know. And I just, this is how my mind thinks. I think that's what he's alluding to. And
well, it feels that way.
And he says his job is to keep it together. And that, I can't help but think that's what he's referring to.
I mean, look, something has gone on there this year. I think that Kraft, you know, to me, they've effectively admitted that in the way they've sort of addressed this thing. So something went on there this year. Will it bring it all down? I don't know. I mean, we're going to find out in time. How the hell are we going to make that determination now? But eventually we'll know. In all likelihood, they'll move forward. But I also think it's comical on some level, and I say comical, that it's easy for Kraft to say stay cool when he's the one in charge. Was he cool when Deflategate was going on? Because it didn't feel that way. It didn't feel like he was cool or any of them were cool because they weren't in charge. They weren't calling the shots. So it's easy to say that when you're the one with the hammer.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Add that to the list. Michelle's in New Hampshire. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, guys. Okay, excuse me. So I was preparing for the Super Bowl coming up. I watched both Do Your Job. The team is diabolical in their approach to planning. On 3rd and 23 at the New England 35 last year at Atlanta's the game against Atlanta, they literally planned for that penalty ahead of time. They were hoping or confident in their ability to play a full 60 minutes and to their conditioning, and that Chris Long would be able to get the penalty, or Matthews penalty against Matthews. They analyze the refs, and they analyze how they call games.
So, Michelle, can I stop you?
Yes, please.
Okay, because I know exactly what you're talking about, and you're right. Is it Jake Matthews?
Jake Matthews
was that the left tackle? It's two things. They knew Jake Matthews was susceptible to things like that, and that referee crew, and they may have had the umpire, who's in charge of offensive holding, you know, stats on him that showed he'll throw that flag, and he'll throw it in a big spot. So what she says is all true, too. Do you know what else happened on 3rd and 23? And I think it was actually the play before 3rd and 23, but it was on that drive. It was after the Julio Jones catch, and all they had to do was kick a field goal. So it was in this sequence where there was the sack and the penalty. And they on the penalty, they completed a crosser over the middle to Sanu, who got to the sidelines and got face-masked by Logan Ryan. And Sanu sort of grappled with him and ripped his helmet off, and there was what should have been an obvious face mask on the Patriots, as well as probably a personal foul on Sanu for ripping Logan Ryan's helmet off. But it should have been a flag on each, offsetting penalties, redo the down, as opposed to the 10 yards loss of... So in the course of scouting the ref, scouting the opponent, being diabolical in the preparation, they also got a good break with the officiating, because that easily could have been offsetting penalties, redo the down. So that's sort of both of it. That's both pieces to it.
Sure. Look, I mean, you know, you don't win like they've won without getting some breaks along the way, too.
And again, part of this today is that they've gotten an inordinate number from the refs recently. And that I think, is one of them. I think there are a couple in that game.
I mean, I'm telling you, I think Belichick's reputation works directly into this. I think these officials go in, they know it's a Belichick game, they've seen him a million times. Hell, half of them probably have relationships with him, for crying out loud. And when I say relationships, I mean, you know, professional. But you know, they, hello, how you doing, how are your kids, blah, blah, blah. There's all of that. And then Bill coaches his teams well. He communicates with the officials, so they get away with more.
Felger and Mav. Felger and Mav.